Okay, we are calling this meeting to order at 6:35 p.m. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board regarding any closed session items? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting on March the 12th open at 7:08 p.m. In honor of a former employee, Mr. Bill Felix, I'm going to ask for a moment of silence if everyone can stand. I'm going to read you very quickly about Mr. Felix, and then we'll have a moment of silence, and then I will lead you in the flag salute. Okay? Mr. Felix came from the Bassett School District after a portion of that district was annexed to West Covina. He served as principal of Merced School until his retirement in 1988. For several years after that, he worked with Father Ray Smith and headed St. Martha's Episcopal Church School. He was married to Lorraine Davies Felix, a longtime employee at Hollencrest, West Covina High School, and the district office. Mr. Felix passed away on Tuesday, March 5th at St. Rose Hospital in Henderson, Nevada, from an inoperable heart condition. He would have been 90 years old in April. He is a proud Marine. And he will be buried on Wednesday, March the 13th at the Veterans Cemetery in Boulder City, Nevada. So if we can have a moment of silence in honor of Mr. Bill Felix. You can join me in the flag salute. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez.
Here.
Mrs. Polis.
Here.
Mr. Fenn.
Here.
Mr. Fox.
Here.
Ms. Jimenez.
Here.
Ms. Ahmad.
Ms.
Campbell.
Here.
Okay. Very much. Okay, we have a few items that were taken in closed session. Okay. The first is that it was moved by Ms. Poulos and seconded by Mr. Spence and approved to expel the following pupil from the schools of the district. Pupil 189020, ED code 48900F. Caused or attempted to cause damage to school property or private property, the vote was 5-0. The pupil is expelled and will not be eligible to apply for readmission until the date set in the rehabilitation plans. Okay. Also in closed session was moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Mr. Cox as follows. That the governing board accept the settlement offer and approve the settlement agreement in regards to the Los Angeles County Superior Court case KC06188 entitled Lilium Lais Castillo versus West Covina Unified School District et al. Attached hereto. There were three yeses, ayes, and two noes, zero abstentions. The motion was passed on the 12th day of March 2013. Okay, let me give you the details now. In closed session, the board took action to accept a settlement offer to approve a settlement agreement in regard to Los Angeles Superior Court case KC061888, entitled Lilium Lais Castillo versus West Covina Unified School District et al. The substance of the agreement is as follows. The district agrees to provide health insurance benefits to plaintiff and her spouse and will reimburse plaintiff for costs associated with this coverage until plaintiff reaches 80 years of age as specified in the agreement. Plaintiff agrees to dismiss her lawsuit against the district and current and former board members with prejudice, waive her right to appeal, and release all defendants from liability. All parties agree to bear their own attorney's fees and costs. The roll call was as follows. Mr. Steve Cox, yes. Eileen Miranda Jimenez, yes. Cami Poulos, yes. Mike Spence, no. Jessica Shoemaker, no. Okay, thank you. Alrighty, we're really excited. We are moving on to our presentations now. We will first be acknowledging the decathlon team from West Covina High School. Are they here? Yes? Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to come to this podium, and your coach is... There we are. I'll have you join me, and you can say a few words, and I'll say a few as well. So we'll come over to this podium here. And then, students, you'll come over here for your photos. And parents and family members and loved ones, feel free to take your time, take as many pictures as you want, because as I always say, this is about the students, and we want you to capture that memory, and that's really important. So I'll head over here. Okay, hi there. Okay, I was there attending the... event at the Quiet Canyon where all the announcements were made and the presentations were made and awards were passed out, and it was super exciting to see West Covina get a number of awards. So we're really, really proud of everyone's effort. We know everyone worked super hard on all the categories. You did really, really well. I'm going to turn it over to your coach. You can give us some of the highlights of maybe how some of the how it went day of. When they competed, maybe some of the highlights leading up to any funny stories of studying late at night, anything you'd like. You have just a few moments, and go ahead and share.
We had another wonderful good year this year. Some of the participants that we have this year, one of them is Cyrus Wan. This is his fourth year being on our team. Another one is Kevin Yu. I believe this is his third year. So we do have some consistency there. Thankfully, we have a couple sophomores that are going to continue on after this year, but we are always in a rebuilding year because we have usually a lot of seniors. The one funny story that I have for you, my wife was able to capture it on video. One of our teammates, we were at USC and thought it would be fun to act like a horn outside in front of USC. Lots of hooting, got lots of stares, but they were having a great time. And that's the main thing.
Good. Okay, why don't you go ahead and come here. And Mr. Rubikova, if you can join over here so that you can take pictures with the students as I call them up to get their award. You can come. Go ahead. Okay, I'm going to call up first. This student got a bronze in economics and was part of the decathlon team. Isaac Kai, did I pronounce that correctly? Okay, friends, anybody? Okay, this is your moment. And you can pull out your phones. You can, that's okay. Yeah, you go ahead. Go right ahead. We will wait. I promise you. Go right ahead. Oh, much better. Balanced. I like that. Okay, good. Okay, you got this one here. Okay, any other students want to get that photo? Okay. All righty. Okay, bronze on the interview. This goes to Justin Quick. Did I say that right? Quick. Yeah, there we go. Still need, thank you. Okay, hold on, we got students over here. Go ahead, you got it? You sure? Okay. All right, we want everybody to be, now make sure to post them to Facebook. Okay. Or wherever you post them now. I may have just dated myself. Okay, bronze in speech. This goes to Cecilia Vu. Yeah, I could have said that, huh? Okay, and this is, any other photos? I'm going to make sure, go ahead, take your photo, go right ahead. Go ahead, stand up, get in the center. You're welcome. This is an important moment. Okay, bronze in math, Cyrus Wan.
culture. Okay, any other photos? Okay. This is this person got two awards, gold in math, which is the highest you can do, is the gold award, and a bronze in music, and that goes to Kevin Yu. You have to put him in the middle because now he'll balance it out with the medals. Okay. Okay, the cameras are here. Okay, now do you have some of your team here? Do you want to, I don't have a list. Do you want to call them forward and then you can do a group shot?
I don't see that anybody else made it.
Okay, all right, good. Okay, does anybody want to get up and take as many photos as you want? These are the medal winners that we have here. Go ahead and stand up, get in the center. Go ahead, parents, friends, too. This is your moment. We'll take as much time as you need. Good. Now, do you kids have phones that you want your friends to? Yeah, there you go. Does anybody have phones you want to hand over to your friends to get a view up here? You're good? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, thank you so much. We applaud your dedication. Is there anything you'd like to say, Mr. Rubikova, about the team?
They're amazing students. They have an amazing coach, and this is repeat year after year. We have the same distinctions. We're very proud.
Good. I'm going to call you over here, Mr. Rubikova. Thank you so much. You can go ahead and have a seat. If you can sit for just another moment while we recognize West Covina High School again. We've got students here from the History Day California Project. So, Mr. Rubikova, can you tell us about that? Tell the audience. I'll go ahead and read the names.
Good evening, everybody, Superintendent, board members. Thank you for having us today. I'm going to bring up Mr. Sam Sanford, who was the coach for this year's History Day competition. This was our first year competing, so we went in there with high hopes, but moderate expectations, and we shattered both of those. So I'm very proud to welcome Mr. Sanford and his students, and he's going to speak a little bit about the day and his students as well. So Mr. Sam Sanford.
Thank you very much. As Mr. Rubikova said, we went into this competition without any real expectations about what would happen. The students designed their projects last winter, and we had a History Day West Covina in January, and we picked three projects to go on to History Day LA to compete at APU a couple weeks ago. And it was a documentary, an exhibit project, and a website. Two of our groups won their categories. That is the exhibit project on the Einstein's Letter and the Manhattan Project, and the website on vaccinations. And I'm very, very impressed with the caliber of work that the students showed. They exceeded really all expectations of the project because we went in this really blind in terms of what was really expected of us, and we really shattered those expectations. And I think we're going to set a precedent for later West Covina High School sending competitive teams to this competition. Congratulations, guys.
Okay, same thing. I'll go ahead and call up the students, and you can take pictures with your advisor and with the principal, okay? And again, parents, take all the pictures you want. Okay, I'm going to call up Shelly Dew. One more photo over there. Okay. Did you get it? Yeah? Okay. Go ahead. Take the picture. Go ahead. Okay, she got it. Okay. Maggie Huynh. Did I say that right? Huynh? Thank you. Oh, good. Big smiles. Justin Quick. Busy guy. You are a busy guy. Yeah, there you go. All the accolades. Got it? Yeah? Okay, good, good, good. I tell, like I said, we'll wait, because these are important moments, and you want to treasure them. David Lai? You can get closer. You can get closer. Go ahead. Get closer. Yeah, no, it's okay. Okay, Andrew Lin. Okay, we'll let you pass that certificate out. Okay, next we have Michael Quintero. Okay, Catherine Tong. Okay. We have one more student, but I don't know maybe if the two adults want to stand behind them, because there's a step there. So you'll definitely clear the students. And that'll leave room for Julie Vu to join us.
That's fine. You got to balance the girls.
Okay. Now go ahead and take all the pictures you want, parents. This is the group. Oh, it's good. Okay, everybody got all the photos they want? Okay. Okay, if we can have, now I don't know if there's any siblings here that can take over the cameras, but parents, if you want to join your students up here, you can just hand your camera over to a teenager in the audience. They'll know how to use them. And you can take pictures with your student up here. I'm sorry. Okay, come on up, parents. You can stand behind your student, because there's a step there, and then you'll be seen. Okay. Any other parents want to jump in? Very nice. Here, I can take a camera also.
We have staff that can come grab a camera too. Okay. Go ahead.
None of you parents want to get up there?
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Cyrus, can you please do that?
Some teenagers in the audience who can come grab a camera. I know the teenagers know how to do this. Do you want to get in the picture here? Okay, go ahead, Dad. Get in the picture. Okay. Now, I know we had some parents who were a little shy and didn't want to join the photo, but if the parents can please stand so we can recognize you in supporting your students. Parents, stand up. We're going to give you a round of applause. Congratulations. Good job. Congratulations. Okay, Mr. Rubalcava is going to talk about the state. Go ahead.
So our History Day winners are going to be on their way to Sacramento to compete in the state competition at the end of April. Mr. Sanford and a van full of History Day winners is going to take a 7-hour trek up to Sacramento to compete. And because we know that he's going to need some support, Ms. Majori is going to be joining them. So it should be a lot of fun. So have fun, guys.
I'm going to go ahead and turn over the next presentation over to the superintendent.
Thank you. Actually, it's exactly a year that Mr. Travatori, Mrs. Lessiker, and Mr. Felicia and I were invited to go to China and visit four different schools in four different regions and do presentations. And throughout the year, we've had a lot of visitors from China, both educators, and most recently, we had 27 high school students and 26 elementary students come to our district. The 26 elementary students were divided up between California and Monte Vista, and then the Edgewood High School housed the high school students. They were here for 5 days, and we wanted to share with you the exchange that went on between both students. So I'd like to add their students and our students and our teachers, because it was really, really a very special event for everybody involved. So I'd like to ask Mr. Travatori to come up from Edgewood, and Mrs. Gonzalez-Gomez and Mrs. Lori Wilds, and anybody who's coming with you to also share, to join you at the podium.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here this evening. In January, we welcomed 12 students at California School in our sixth grade. It was absolutely a wonderful experience, and I'd like to introduce to you one of our sixth grade teachers to share that experience with you, Mr. Clint DeProza.
Good evening. I'd like to start off by, again, thanking the district for this just wonderful program. There were a lot of benefits going into it. The one that stood out for me was to enhance higher standards in academics. The visitors were just so superior academically. And for this, our students to be able to witness this, for example, we have a basic math, just simple basic skills math. The four Chinese students averaged 1.5 minutes to accomplish it. My class averaged 5 minutes.
Wow.
5 minutes. And so it was a big eye-opener for them. And one of those things where, as a teacher, you kind of, again, harp since day one about how important it is. Common Core promotes speed and accuracy in calculations, and they were able to see how important it was. It was, I tell my students that California is just a pond. There's a big ocean out there, and just for that 5 days, they had a glimpse of what that ocean looked like. And even though the students were superior academically, their social skills and their physical coordination, they were lacking. And my students saw how awkward they were, but I shared with them that their awkward jumping jacks were equal to our basic math. And they got it. They really did. Yes, if you can. I'm going to start this DVD, and I'll talk through it. And so the students are used to the lecture format. And when they got to California, they experienced a lot of partnering, group work, problem solving, and a lot of competition that they weren't used to. And, you know, and in 5 days, as they were getting ready to leave, half my class were in tears. And I felt really good because I was able to help cultivate that connection and that friendship and that ease of exchange. And so again, I just like to thank the district, and I hope that we can continue this program because it did really benefit our sixth graders, and I hope, again, that if you continue this, the other students in the future will also benefit from this exchange. Here are some of the problem solving. They were creating earthquake structures, and they partnered up. And again, it was a fun moment. The students weren't used to hands-on activities in partner or group work, and they really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, we threw them into a lot of competition, which they enjoyed. Again, they weren't used to, but it was a positive event for them. So, again, I'd like to just, again, add thank you very much for the opportunity that you gave California Elementary School. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, board members, superintendent, and cabinet. From Monte Vista, Mrs. Gonzalez-Gomez, and I first want to thank you for giving Monte Vista this opportunity. We felt very special to receive the Chinese students, and when asked to present, I thought really who needs to present is one of our students or our students. So we have some letters here. I have Ashley Santana here with me tonight. So in just a moment, she's going to share a little. But I do want to say there was another part of this exchange that was great, and that was the teachers that were visiting. And they got to be in the classroom, and they had requests to visit other classrooms, so I was able to walk them around, and they just were amazed with the things we were doing in all our classrooms and trying to pick it all up. Ashley will probably speak to this. It wasn't just the students, but the teachers, too. Just could not stop taking pictures. I felt so famous and, you know, special that whole week because everywhere I went, people were taking pictures of me. I was ready to start autographing and things, but they were taking pictures of our classroom and thinking maps. So it was a great exchange. We learned a lot as well as they did. And I have Ashley here. She's going to come around and tell you a little bit about what our students thought.
Thank you. I'm going to pass them on. Okay. Pass them on to the board. I'll let you guys start. I just want to tell you, when we were in China, we took pictures of our food, too.
Good evening, Board of Education, Superintendent, Cabinet. First and foremost, I can't match that, so I'm not even going to try. but all kidding aside, our presentation is dual-pronged. We wanted to convey our equally enriching experience, having hosted a delegation recently, and also to present our proposal to go to China. So background, Edgewood High School and Edgewood Middle School hosted a delegation of 26 students and teachers from Tsinghua University School in January. And our Chinese students were shadowed by Edgewood High School and Edgewood Middle School students. And they also participated in various activities and attended classes. And the Chinese teachers that accompanied the students observed classes and also collaborated with our students. I'd like to bring a few of our students up to share their experiences, and you can hear those firsthand. And these are three 11th grade students from Edgewood High School. So I have Jason, Hannah, and Isabel.
Good evening, everybody. It was a marvelous experience, I would like to start out by saying, to have these students come to our school. We are an IB campus, and IB emphasizes international mindedness, and we were able to experience that firsthand with this visitation. Now, I can speak from the perspective of a third-year Mandarin student, and to have this cultural experience took it out of the textbook and made it real. And so we are really grateful for the opportunities that we've had and look forward to the opportunities in the future.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Personally, I had an amazing experience with all the Chinese students. It was an amazing experience. Me and her got close to the point that, like, we didn't even want to say goodbye to each other, and we were just hugging outside the gate, and we were like, oh, I hope to see you soon, and let's keep in touch. So we exchanged contacts and numbers. It was amazing talking to them. The lifestyle in China seems very different to our lifestyle here. For instance, the amount of time they spend in school is like twice as much as we spend in school here. And also they're like I don't know her name was, but she said that their math skills were amazing. Like, I have personally trouble in math sometimes, and my pal just like answered my problems like off the bat. And I thought that was amazing. But yeah, overall, this whole experience of being able to connect to international friends is just amazing.
Hi, I'm Isabel. Overall, it was just an eye-opening experience because every day we're so busy with our schoolwork and we worry about our problems and how school's so hard and all of those kind of stuff. And then when they came, they tell us about their school life, and it's just like, we could connect, actually. Like, there's people out there that have the exact same problems as us, and it felt like we were all on the same playing field, because usually we're all just in our little bubbles and we don't really think about stuff outside of our own life. And it was just another experience when they tell us about their life and about how they live. And yeah, thank you.
Mr. Travatore, do you want to introduce Mr. Yu?
Yes, I would. The liaison, if you will, from the organization that facilitates all this is here this evening, and he's in the back of the room. And Ray, could you come up, maybe, please? Or and so Ray is the representative from the Chinese Foundation for Teacher Development.
My name is Ray. I'm very happy to meet all of you, and it was an opportunity for me to work with the West Covina Unified School District, bring the Chinese students coming over. I think some of the students already described how good their math is. Well, I can say this. I was in China. I learned math the way they did. And we were asked by the teachers and also by the parents to memorize a lot of things. So, you know, when you solve a problem, because everything is in your mind, you solve it immediately. However, my kids are here in the U.S. Looking at what they are doing in school, I don't think, even though our math skills are a little bit behind, I think in many ways, U.S. education is still better than what it is, you know, what they are doing in China, even though their math skills are very advanced, because they are lacking social skills. And they spend so much time in school every day. And students go to school 8 o'clock, they probably don't leave. For high school, they probably don't leave until 10 o'clock. Wow. Yeah, Monday through Friday. And not to, sometimes, if it's the last year in high school, they probably have to spend weekend in school as well because they have to take entrance examinations. Yeah. You know, I want to say this. This is an opportunity for students from both countries to learn from each other. Yeah. For Chinese students, I'm sure the students already described how wonderful they are here. And they learned a lot, they see a lot, and they truly learned a lot. Yeah, especially the, you know, I talk to the students, and they like the American education, they like the teachers. The classroom atmosphere is totally different because in China, it's teacher's lecture style. There's not much interaction between the teacher and the students. Even the students themselves, there's not much interaction. So everybody work independently. And I hope we can keep this going on and, you know, students learn from each other, teachers learn from each other, and create a better opportunity for everybody. Thank you.
So what's been described this evening has been us hosting delegations from China. So for your consideration, we'd like to do the opposite and send some of our students to China. So our proposal is such that spring break of next year, through the generous sponsorship of RAISE organization along with the American Education Foundation, they're willing to sponsor 20 Edgewood High School 12th grade students and approximately 5 Edgewood High School faculty members, and they'll provide lodging, meals, sightseeing excursions, and ground transportation. All will be covered by that organization, and the only out-of-pocket cost for our students and teachers would be approximately $1,200 each. That's just airfare, passport, and visa, and we have some very aggressive fundraising opportunities we'd like to offer our students to defray the cost, hopefully to get that down to zero if we can start soon. The itinerary, which I've offered to you, is flying out of Beijing that Friday night, the last day of school before spring break, landing in Beijing, city tour, Forbidden City, Great Wall, etc. It's going to be rich with site or with school visitations in multiple cities. And a treat that we weren't able to experience was the Terracotta Warrior Museum, some other historical sites. That'll bring the students back late Saturday evening, and a day to kind of recover the jet lag before coming back to school on Monday. But what are the benefits of this? We believe that this promotes an academic exchange and to build a sister school relationship with the two nations. It also offers our students who are currently enrolled in Mandarin, as Jason had so eloquently articulated, as an opportunity to learn firsthand about the culture of the language they're studying and also to improve their communication skills. And we also think this helps us to further our awareness of the importance of being internationally minded individuals. And we constantly strive and endeavor for our students to be able to explain and interpret global issues and varying cultural perspectives. And lastly, looking here at home with our strategic plan and our mission and vision statements here as a district, ability to identify and understand the skills students will need to be successful in this 21st century global economy. So with your consent, of course, we'd like to proceed with having an IB student pairing merit meeting to vet out those students who are interested in going, and then to commence these fundraising activities as soon as possible, and also convene our faculty to see who'd be interested in going as chaperones. It's not a vacation. Again, it's a study trip. And any questions related to this?
I only had one question.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was on the, we have a copy of the letter that you're going to be sending out, but it says 1,500, but yet your presentation and the paperwork to us says 12.
15's bloated because we figured spending money, but Ray had kind of given us an estimate. He flies back to China all the time, so in this season, if you will, The airfare is usually about $1,000 to $1,100. Some students have passports, but the visa cost is about $60. Suite, padded a little bit, and that's just for spending money.
Okay.
They want to buy souvenirs. That's the $1,500.
Okay, good. Thank you. Ray, I appreciate, and on behalf of the board, the deep gratitude for selecting our district and creating this partnership. I say it, and they've all heard me say over and over, that there's a bigger world out there, and our students hear it, but they don't experience it. I keep saying there's a bigger world and students need to go away, so I am thrilled that you were going to take some of our students and that you've created this bridge and this partnership. I really deeply appreciate that, and I'm excited for the students. Again, there's a bigger world, and I hope that they'll become internationally minded, apply to colleges internationally, or at the very least go to the opposite coast. So, and for the elementary school students, that was great. Thank you so much. Your presentation was excellent, and the photos that you brought and the booklets that you brought, thank you for sharing that. You were very well-spoken. So were you also as well, seniors. And to the teacher who created the PowerPoint, I love the music and the PowerPoint you did. It was excellent.
Thank you.
It really brought to life the exchange that took place. So thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate all of you here.
And we can also say bon voyage to Mrs. Wiles, who will be going to China during spring break this year with Mr. Yu. So.
Have a very safe trip and an excellent trip. Okay, we are going to take a quick five-minute break. Students, I know you got to go home and study, right, until 10 o'clock, midnight. So go ahead and go. The rest of the students, you don't need to stay. Go ahead. We'll take 5 minutes. Okay. We are moving on to the hearing session of our board meeting. I don't have an update for everyone. Do my colleagues have an update? No? Okay. And our student is not here today, so we don't have a student update either. So we're going to move on to the public comment section of our agenda. I do have some blue cards. However, let me let you know that we do have the fields on the agenda, and once we approve the agenda, I'm going to ask that the board move the presentation up so that way the students and parents don't have to stay late, okay? Some of your concerns might be addressed in the presentation, but the presentation is not a question and answer for the audience. It is a question and answer for the board to ask what is being presented, okay? So if you want to speak now, before the presentation, then, you know, that is your right. Or you can choose not to speak, see the presentation, and then come back next week. Okay, I'm not opposed to that, but keep in mind it's not a Q&A, okay? So you would just simply respond, but it would not be a Q&A. So for those of you who've turned in a blue slip, I'm not opposed to that. Is anybody else fine with that? Okay, so you can choose to speak now, public comment, because it is the public comment from the floor, or you can choose to wait until after the presentation, but again, you would only be making a comment, not asking a question of the speaker or of the board, okay? Okay, so it's public comments from the floor. I have a Santo Salcido, a Glenda Jimenez, Katrina Bersena, and a George Castellanos. Do you all want to wait or come now? Okay. I'm sorry, your name, sir?
Santo Salcido.
Santo Salcido. Okay, thank you, Santos.
Thank you.
Good evening, Superintendent and Board. My name is Santo Salcido. I'm with West Covina Youth Soccer. I have kids that my daughter started 9 years ago, and I've been with the league for 9 years. And right now I have two daughters active in the league, and they're in different divisions, and with what's going on with the fields right now, I'll be having to go from Cortez School to West Cove for our games, and with having the games right here on Edgewoods Field and Orangewoods Field, it was complicated just getting across the street to go to those games. So, you know, I'm sure you can see that going from Cortez to West Cove is a lot harder. So, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, the league has been at this field for 20-plus years. And, you know, the fields are community property. You know, the track is, I think it's a safe haven for our kids. You know, I know there's a lot of people involved, excuse me, with the board. They have kids who have, you know, been involved most of their lives. And, you know, a lot of those kids now are referees and are coaches. And, you know, we have a lot of these kids that do the reffing. They don't drive yet. You know, there are a lot of 16, 17-year-olds, you know, some younger, and they don't have transportation. So it's really hard for them to get from a game at Cortez to a game at West Cove, you know, for example. So, you know, I just want the board to take it into consideration, all the different problems that it causes for a lot of us, a lot of the parents. You know, it's really hard. You know, I try to do my best and do my part in coaching two teams, and which a lot of us do. You know, it's real important. We're limited on coaches, and you know, we're all trying to do our best, and this is just kind of putting another roadblock in our way. And you know, I don't think it's not about their field, our field. You know, what it all boils down to is it's about the kids. It's what the kids need. You know, it keeps them active. And like I said, that field they feel safe there. You know, they're used to that field. They've been there, a lot of them since they were little kids, and you know, they can go there, wait for their parents, and there's always a coach or a board member there that can watch over your kids, and you know, and you know, not babysitters, but you know, they're always there in case a kid needs them. And you know, it's I'd really hate to see that go away. And I really hope that you guys, you know, help us out, see it our way, and allow us to continue on the fields. And that'd be great. Just remember the kids, all right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Salcido. Thank you. Okay. Did the other three people want to speak? Okay. I'm sorry. Are you Katrina
Marcona? Good evening, Superintendent, West Covina School Board President, and members of the board. My name is Katrina Barcena, and I have been a part of West Covina Youth Soccer League for the past 5 years. I have three sons who are 12, 14, and 15 years old. All three of them participate in the league as players as well as referees. I am here tonight to express my concern as a mother about the current field situation. I understand that in item 21 of your agenda, field use will be discussed. However, I want to stress the importance of having a field big enough and close enough to each other for our kids' safety. It is going to be very difficult this season for myself, as well as other parents who will have to run from field to field with hopes to make it to their child's game on time. I know that if I get to my son's game late, he's not going to be a happy camper. He's going to be stressed out and trying to figure out, where's my mom, where's my dad. This season, we have over 600. Oh, let me go back. I'm sorry. We need to work together to come up with a proper solution for our kids' sake. This season, we have over 600 players who will participate in our league from ages 4 years old all the way up to seniors in high school. Us parents are their voices, and I will continue to express my concerns until something is done. I do not want to see these kids who look forward to playing soccer lose the opportunity to play because we don't have the proper fields for them to play at. Edgewood has been our home for many years, and we are asking that it continue to be so. As a parent, coach, and a West Covina Youth Soccer board member, I am asking for your support and consideration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Ms. Barcena. Okay, I have Glenda Jimenez and George Castellano. Do you still want to speak, or do you want to wait?
I'll wait till after the presentation.
Okay, Glenda, that's Jimenez. Glenda. Okay, and George? Okay, thanks, George.
Good evening, Superintendent and board members. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to come up here and speak. The reason I'm here today is to express my concern for the West Covina Youth Soccer League losing their fields at Edgewood. Now, you know, I've been very fortunate to have had four children play in the league, and, you know, I've been a resident of West Covina for 20 years. And so during this time, I've had the opportunity to have, you know, all my children played in one field, in one school, and really made my job easier, like some of the parents were speaking earlier, where I don't have to run around from, you know, one part of the city to the other part of the city just to see my kids play. I think in the past, we've had a good partnership with the school district, with the council, the city council, school council, with the principals at Edgewood, and I know for a fact that West Covina has, or West Covina Soccer has been involved in the league, you know, helping or working with kids for over 30 years. And so to see that go away and to see really the city not, or not the city, but the school district not or support us, it's a little frustrating. As Ms. Katrina said earlier, 80% of our youth live in West Covina. And so we're serving our youth in our community. So the fields are not for kids from La Puente, kids from Baldwin Park. They're for kids from West Covina. And like I said, having my kids grow up here and having had that opportunity made a big difference. It kept them off the streets. It kept them busy. You know, at a time now where we're talking about obesity on kids, you have these kids that need an outlet to come work out, come exercise, you know, be active. And not only does it help us now, especially when they're young, but as they get older, as they move up to the junior high and the high schools, you know, one of the things we teach the kids are social skills. They learn how to interact with each other. They learn how to work together. They learn, you know, how to be a team. That really reflects as they, you know, go out through the school years, as they go through high school, as they play sports in high school. And so, to me, it's very important that we, you know, that we plant the seed. These kids are our future, and we really need to kind of support them. And so I think one of the things that I've seen in the past is when the kids don't have that support, guess what? They're going to be walking around the streets, finding things to kind of get into, maybe even get into mischief. And guess where they end up? They end up juvenile hall. They end up in corrections. Why? Because as a community, we don't give them that support and an outlet for them to, you know, do something productive in their lives. Just a couple notes. I think your logo, you know, talks about a proud past and a prominent future. So what kind of prominent future are we going to have when we don't give our children the opportunity, you know, to go out there and be active, be involved, and work together? So my only thing is, please take a look at our situation, and we really hope that you support us. Because this is not for the parents. This is not for the board. This is not for the coaches. This is for the kids. We, you know, we want to keep them active. We want to keep them, you know, healthy. And definitely we want to build social skills that they can use in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Okay. We are now moving to the business section, which we will be approving the agenda. Are there any board members that would like to remove or add anything to consent? Yes, we're going to move it up. Okay, you'd like to add 18 to consent? I would like to move 21 up to right after right after the minutes. Okay. Anybody else like to add or remove from consent? Okay. All right. So who will move?
I'll move the agenda as amended.
Who will second that? Okay, it has been moved by Ms. Shoemaker and seconded by Mr. Mike Spence to approve the agenda with the revision on item 5, with adding item 18 to consent and moving item 21 up for the regular board meeting of March 12, 2013. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, I would like to go ahead and now move to item number 21. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to the superintendent, Ms. Deborah Kaplan.
Yes, thank you. Based on the request from the Board of Education at our last meeting, Dr. Rob Coakland has put together a report for you of all the fields in our district and the usage up to date, and provide you with some background information.
So what we've done is we put together a few slides to get this going here. Okay, it's going. Yes, you, Board of Education, you do have the presentation in front of you. It's also on the back screen here. It's about 7 slides. Want to talk a little bit first about, we have just a large number. It's a great program, youth sports in our community. It's not just soccer. There's baseball, there's softball, there's basketball. There's a whole bunch of different sports. I want to talk about those. I want to give a board an update on our field allocations, what we did last year, and where we are. It's actually January to December of last year, and then where we are for these 6 months right now. Then I want to talk about the maintenance schedule, because keep in mind, there's 365 days in a school year. Our kids are going to school over 180 days. So the other 180 days, we are making our fields available, but for half the time, our fields are in use. And so they still need to be maintained. So I want to give you what that maintenance schedule looks like. And then I want to talk to you about some next steps that we're doing to try to maximize the usage, to get the most out of our fields, to make them last, to provide fields for our students, but also provide fields for the community and for the students. So I want to talk about kind of what our next steps are in that plan. This was given to me. This is from last year, I believe. There's a youth council in West Covina, and these are the kind of the main sports, going from American Little League, Bruins football. Shows the number of teams. There's over 294 teams with a total number of players, 3,675. You can see that youth soccer is the largest with 895, followed by youth pony baseball at 654. Now, they're not all playing at the same time, which is kind of good news, but there are a lot of teams playing. One of the things with the youth council is they have to provide a roster of where their players are coming from. 71% of the players are from our West Covina residents. And this is typical. If you go to any city, the vast majority will be from that city, and then there will be non-residents that will play. In this case, 29%. And this was for last year. I would assume the numbers would probably be similar for this year. I don't have those right now. This is last year's numbers. So typically, as I said, we're in school for over 180 days a year, and our fields are used by our students 5 days a week, but also in fall and winter, Monday through Friday, say from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Most of our sites, almost all of them, do not have lights. So when school is out, our fields are used for practice from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. What does that mean? That means during fall and winter, Monday to Friday, our fields are pretty much in use from 8 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. Now, keep in mind, recess and lunch is different times, but they are used constantly Monday to Friday. Saturday and Sundays, they're used from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Not a lot of use on Sunday, but it does happen. Spring and summer, as we're in right now with daylight savings, you can see that it can actually go later. So on average, it goes from 4 to 8 p.m. because you don't need the lights, and Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So that's typical usage at our schools. This is from last year, January 1st to December 31st. Now, keep in mind that the shaded ones that are kind of in red, those are adult sports teams. I've indicated those. We've had everything from cricket to soccer, youth soccer, adult soccer, baseball, softball. What in X indicates here is that at some time during that year, that team was at that school. Now, it was only for a month, or maybe it was in Cameron's case, they were there the whole year. That's their field that they used to practice on, that they used to play on. You can see that the youth soccer was on 2, 4, 6, 7 fields. Last year, up until in the fall, we did have to move the youth soccer to some different facilities, Del Norte being one, Hollencrest another, because we were doing maintenance on some of the other ones. Contrast that with now. One of the things you don't see on here is we've really tried to limit the use of the fields to the youth sports, give those priorities first. And so you see the elimination of those adult leagues. One of the things that we have to do is a maintenance schedule. Right now, Edgewood is the football field's being worked on. Took about a week to work on it. That's grading, aerating, irrigation, and seeding. Right now, it's nobody's on it, and it needs some time to get strong. That field will be available after May 15th. Our summer program is we're going to be taking down San Jose Edison, Cortez, and California. So what that involves is we're there for about a week. We go through all the process, the grading, the aerating, the irrigation. So for 2 to 3 months, those fields are not available. So what we do with the maintenance department is we have to kind of shuffle some teams around and get them to fields that are available. But at any given time, our maintenance schedule is we're working on 3 fields as a chance to get them to rejuvenate. One of our things, kind of next steps, is working with Edgewood High School. And it's not just Edgewood High School, it's Edgewood Middle School, because he does have 2 programs over there. The problem is the high school program is growing. There's high school, there's varsity baseball, there's softball, and those needs are greater than when it was just a middle school. The other problem is the sports at the high school do not always coincide exactly with the youth sports. They're close, but they don't always. And so it can be very frustrating when if I'm a youth sports team and I look over there and I say, nobody's on these fields. What's going on? Well, 2 weeks later, the high school program will be starting up, and it will be going in the afternoon, possibly until 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night. Or they may have some practices on the weekend, or they may have practices in the summertime. So our task, our job, is to try to figure out when are those times that the high school actually needs the fields, then what times are available to work in teams like youth soccer and other sports to kind of maximize those fields, to make sure that they're not going to waste. It can be very frustrating because if I'm a youth sports organization, I can be at this, maybe I'm there for a month, but then I have to go somewhere else for another couple months. It would be nice if we could do blocks, but we just can't because the programs do not run concurrent. So the different calendars, practices and games. We attend a monthly youth sports council meeting. I know coaches, the league, the different coach managers go. Dave Larkin, our director of maintenance, goes to those to kind of coordinate and make sure that if a sports team is assigned to a school, that's the school that they're at, that they're not encroaching and using another one, because that's when we have problems. So, as I said, our next steps in the next couple months, the Edgewood field is down until May 15th, but working with the high school to determine what are the needs from May 15th to June 30th, and then what's the schedule look like for next year? So we have a master schedule to say, this is when the fields are available. Then we go back to the Youth Sports Council, and we say, this is what's available. Keeping in mind that youth soccer has been over there, and to try to get them back on there, but still have to meet the needs of the students at Edgewood Middle and High. That's the report. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
When you're trying to coordinate the Edgewood High School teams, mm-hmm. I noticed that we have the baseball field, and now it looks like a softball field. Are they used simultaneously by Edgewood?
Right. So right now at Edgewood High School, you'll see on the baseball, there's a outfield, a fence. During that season, that will be up. Okay. Same with the softball. That will be up. It's a little difficult to take it down every night and put it back up. But those fields are being used by the high school now, the softball too.
And then when they're not in season,
I know you put a lot of money into the, not the soft, I don't know how much money you put into softball, but into the baseball. It really had to be graded, reseeded. Will that only be used for baseball now? Because I know for there to be in CIF, they had to have a certain grade in the field.
Well, and I think what we would do is we would look at that field, and if we got to look at how far can we go down? Can we section some things off, not go onto the dirt of the baseball field? Again, look at what we can do. Something else to point out too is this field over here is a recommendation. That's a great field, and I know a lot of times because field space is so limited, we will have, my understanding, we'll have three or four that kind of run this way, north and south. I guess that's north and south. When really it should just run the entire length. When you have that many teams going, four teams or four individual practices going on that field, it does tend to chew it up a little bit faster. And so where we place students, where we place the teams, and we really need to look at that to make sure that the field doesn't go away. There's an acceptable amount of use on that field, because ultimately if there's too much use on it, then you're down to dirt.
The football field, or the center of the track, I know you're reseeding that now, but it looked like in the past I saw adult soccer players playing there. Were they just high school students that looked large to me, or were they actually adult players?
Again, I don't know in the past if they were allowed to come out. Right now, as far as we're looking to approve the youth sports, if a team happens, because it's an open field, and if they happen to go on there, that's why it's actually, believe it or not, it's a good relationship to have the youth sports on their fields, on these fields. They're out there. We know who's out there, and they're policing the field. So when it can be done, it's a great relationship. So as far as those adults, I don't know who was out there, but that's not the plan.
And they would definitely be given priority over if that wasn't it. And it looked like they were wearing uniforms.
I believe the administrative regs and the board policy on this, there's the priority. It goes to school first, priority needs, and then it goes to the youth sports, and then it goes to any outside adult leagues or for-profit organizations.
And then there are lights there, but I know the lights are more on the track and not on the field.
That's correct.
So there isn't a way that they can play to extend the use in the evenings after it's dark?
We've talked about that. By the tennis courts and by the field, sometimes there's enough kind of light that's going that you can go a little bit, certainly not into the dark, but you can go a little bit past sundown. And so I understand what soccer is talking about, that they at those fields they can get a little bit more use out of those fields. They're not fully lit.
And I don't know how expensive it would be to put, since there's already light posts on the track, to put lights onto the field. Is that cost? I know what we're cutting. We have to cut a million point two. But is that cost prohibitive, or would the city go in on and maybe lighting that middle field, and then there could be extended use? And maybe the high school students could play later, to extend that use?
That's something we can get some information on, the cost of putting lighting in.
So the younger ones could play first and then the older. I'm just trying to figure out how we could use it. I can understand the frustration, and I understand the limited fields available. And I appreciate you looking at all of this. Thank you. I don't have any more questions.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Just a couple quick things. And, one is the city paid for the lights across there because...
They pay for the lights.
Yeah, they paid for when they went into the office. We didn't have school programs that used it at night, and we made a deal with them to not light it. We did expand a part of the parking lot, though, to try to accommodate some of it. I know the people are here... Because based on what I'm hearing, we're the only one that has a facility like this. So, is that right? It's this big.
That's correct. There's a couple of things that I want to touch on, Mr. Collins spoke about.
Yeah. And so, I
I kind of wish we could go to some other schools around the area and beat them up for not having you guys somewhere, because that'd be nice. And I know, you know, you want to use this because we're one of the school districts that don't charge money. You know, there's a lot of them, some of them charge a lot of fees and sometimes, you know, on them. I think Anaheim does, right?
Well, as long as you're part of the sports council, you're not charging fees.
Yeah, right. We're not charging fees. And so, you know, I know that's a deal we made too. And so, I mean, I understand want to do all that. You know, I guess I don't understand, you know, what the issue is. I don't know if you're looking for direction from us or what you're doing. But, I mean, for our members, okay, we have the school, and obviously the school's got to do what they got to do in order to provide, you know, what we do for the students. And after that, you know, I just think it's just a matter of coordinating to try to work out the schedules to see that they can match. I mean, that's, am I wrong?
That's our goal, and that's what we're going to try to do. Yes.
That's why I didn't quite get all this, because it seemed a little bit easier when I said it like that. But I just, you know, that's where I'm kind of at. So, okay, let's, you know, we got the school. Let's accommodate that, because that's got to come first. There's a school ground. It's not, you know, anything else. And then after that, we've always accommodated the community, whether they're West Virginia Unified residents or not. That wanted to use it as much as possible. And so, I don't know if you're looking for direction, but I just want to kind of get worked out.
I think the purpose of this report is to share with you what we're doing with our fields and that we are trying to accommodate everybody within the schedule.
And then also, there will be times during the year when fields will be taken down for maintenance. And that team...
That's all communicated and all worked out.
Right, right.
Because that's what I think should just happen. I mean, we get our schedules together and then work it out.
Words that you don't hear often. I agree with Mr. Spence. I'm a little confused.
We do that a lot.
I'm a little confused as to what the issue is, because in listening to the speakers, I understand that a lot of you are frustrated about having to go from field to field. And I'm not quite sure how we overcome that inconvenience, because ultimately our duty is to make sure that the fields are prepared for the students. We have certain regulations that we have to follow for the fields. I know that staff has been made aware when this was brought up to us about a year, almost 2 years ago now, that it is the board direction that as much space as possible on the school be made available as it's available after the students use it. So I'm not quite sure what the issue is here.
I'm sorry, it's not a Q&A period for the audience.
I think I can answer that question.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ms. Shoemaker, yes.
And so I think what I also need to know is what information the Youth Soccer League is looking for from us that will finally resolve the issue of students first and then we make it as available as we can. I don't know where we go from here.
I have a few things, and that is the Trojan Way side, based on the schedule, the field is only down for about a week. Why is that field not down the normal 2 to 3 months for, as you called it, rejuvenation?
There wasn't, right, the amount of work, there wasn't the seeding, and the, you know, anytime you put seed down, you're going to need a little bit more time, and that was mainly about putting up backstops and getting that ready for softball.
And then I think the other puzzle that's missing from this component is that the community has been very, very fortunate in having the use of Edgewood for 20-plus years, because there hasn't been a high school for 20 years. When the district went bankrupt and it became one high school, it became a middle school, and then there was one high school, which was West Covina. So what year was that?
88.
So we've been looking at 20-plus years that the field has been available to the community, and now we have a functioning high school that's back and a program that wants to grow, and we want that program to grow as well, and then that puts us in a really tough spot, because as you can hear from the board,
The board wants to be very supportive and very responsive to the community's needs, but we also, our first priority is to the students that attend school at the high school. And we're growing a high school. We have juniors, and next year we're going to have seniors, so we're going to have more teams. We're going to have varsity teams probably and JV teams. And so that luxury that once existed when we only had one high school and we had a middle school over here, so therefore we had the fields available, is unfortunately gone. Has the league, have you tried to work with the league? Because you said there's not a lot of playing that happens on Sunday. Has that been an option to do a Saturday-Sunday schedule?
Well, I think people do.
Days that are available?
Different sports, I'm sure, do play on Sunday. So, we can check. I believe the soccer also plays on Sunday, but I'm not too sure.
And then what is the city's response? Because the city also has a responsibility to its residents in providing parks and appropriate places to play. We're trying to do our part as a district and make our fields available, make our facilities available. You know, Girl Scouts comes in, different components of our schools are being used by different community organizations at different times. And, of course, first priority always goes to our students. So what is the city doing to try and resolve this?
And the city does have fields, and those fields are used by youth sports. I do believe that the teams are charged for lights or to use those fields, and I don't know what the price is. But I think those fields are being used just as much. The difference is on the maintenance is those fields are used in the evening and on the weekends. They don't have 600 kids on them Monday through Friday. They do get a chance to breathe a little bit more. So maintenance is a little different on those.
Yeah, most of the schools go. So it has, have you, what, well, I, that was the second part, is what has the city said they're going to try to do to accommodate residents who would like to have a facility? We're a school district, and we're trying to accommodate.
We can. I can bring that question to the city and ask them.
Okay.
I will ask and let them know.
I'd like to also hear that. What are they going to do to help the residents? Because I'm a resident too, so I would like to know, how's the city partnering? We're trying to partner as a district. Okay. Are there any other questions from my colleagues or comments? Okay, we are trying really hard to be supportive, but as I said, we're growing a program. And for those of you who have students at Edgewood High School, I'm sure you're appreciating that we're growing a program. For those of you whose students might be at West Covina High or at other schools, you won't feel that benefit, but the students at Edgewood High School will.
See that? Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
See, let's say I'm there, you know, see, I think I just don't get the whole tension thing. You know, it's our field, their field, all that kind of stuff. See, that's where I don't get this part yet. Like, why just we haven't communicated what our schedules are and then worked around it. That's what I don't get.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't have a problem if you just want to explain what the issue is real quick. I don't have a problem with you recognizing so you can just say.
Well, we're going to go to public comment, so then
because yeah,
we still have Ms. Jimenez, and then if there's others who want to speak public comment, again, it's not a Q&A, so.
Yeah, because I just, you know, to me it seems pretty simple. You know, we schedule our stuff and then.
And then it's left, then it goes, moves around it.
Yeah, and obviously the maintenance and all those things are all issues, you know.
Right, and we have
but
CIF
still.
Regulations. And we have. Go ahead.
Am I looking at it wrong?
No. And for those of you in the audience, I don't want you to mistake us as being flippant when we say our students come first, because understand that we expect everybody involved to not make things unnecessarily difficult when it comes to accommodating the youth soccer league in respect to the students and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so I just want to make that clear, because I know it can sometimes sound like our students are first, it's all we're concerned about, and that is not the case. We really do want to make sure that you guys are able to utilize the fields. My sister was part of youth soccer league. I know how important it is. My nephews and niece are in baseball now. I understand that you need fields, you need the space. We're fortunate to have a lot of space. In return, I just ask that you attempt to understand that there are some instances where our school facilities just need to be kept a certain way or need to be off limits for maintenance.
Okay.
Okay, so we will open
it
to public comment now. We will return to it's not a Q&A. I do have one blue card here, which is Glenda Jimenez.
So does Glenda still want to speak, or does Glenda?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Jimenez.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. I first want to say that I like what I'm hearing, that, you know, some of you are willing or really would like for the school, the district and the school to work with us, and I agree. I think once we, all we need to do is coordinate, you know, that's all it is. It can be worked out, I believe. But as you know, we have been relocated from Edgewood and Orangewood schools. This relocation, we have been told, would only be temporary while the fields were being rejuvenated. However, a member of our league heard that our league is not wanted back on the fields of Edgewood. In fact, an administrator of Edgewood was the one who said this. So that gives us a lot of concern. Our league members are here tonight to say that our league needs to be allowed to return to Edgewood for practices and games. We're in three different locations that are not close in proximity, which you all know right now already. We did mention the city, and I did speak with Chris Freeland from the city yesterday, and he stated that our league has been given the use of Orangewood Park back by the baseball fields. This is true. We have been allowed to practice on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights from 4 to 10, but not on weekends, which is when our league holds games. Also, as you all know, this park is set up for baseball. I ask, would you ask your school baseball teams or the baseball teams of the city to play their games without a backstop or bases? This is basically what we have been giving. These fields are set up for baseball, not soccer. We are not able to play games on them, and even if they were set up for soccer, there's not enough space to accommodate our league. Between Edgewood and Orangewood School, our league has enough room to practice and play at locations that are close enough together for our parents with multiple children to be able to go back and forth from one game to the next without having to travel across the city to do it. When the parents are forced to do this kind of traveling to deliver and pick up their children, the volunteer coaches have to take on the responsibility of babysitter as well as coach, and this is unfair to both the parents and the coaches. There is no other location in the city of West Covina that will accommodate the numbers of our teams that our league has each season and are located as close together as Edgewood and Orangewood School. I took a look at the fields today over at Edgewood, and the area off of Orangewood and off of Trojan Way are looking so green and lush, and the track field has been fertilized. I know you're probably thinking the fields are in better shape because the soccer league has not been playing on them. However, this is in fact because time and money has been put into them to care for them. West Covina Youth Soccer has in the past put time and money into whatever fields we are allowed to work with, putting it in their budget between each season to have the fields aerated, fertilized, seeded, and fenced in an attempt to keep them healthy. And our league, I believe, is still willing to put time into the fields to keep them looking good. Our league is not a high school sports team where if you're not a top-notch player, you don't get to play. We have recreational teams, club teams, signature teams, which is a level between recreation and club, as well as top soccer program, which is a league for children and adults with any kind of disability. West Covina Youth Soccer accommodates all children in this community that appreciate playing the game of soccer. This league does not turn children away who want to play. Any child, male or female, of the age to play in our league is welcome. Our league is going to suffer with the way we are set up now, but I'm not going to stand around and just watch our league fall apart. And as you can see, our league members are not going to stand idle while this happens either. We need support of the administration, school board, and city council members to keep our league up and running strong. I ask that you show your support by allowing our league to return to Edgewood and Orangewood schools for our fall 2013 season. We are willing to work with you as far as, you know, as far as time schedules. We've already in the past have told our leagues not to start practicing till 6 and off of certain fields, and we're very much willing to work out. But this location is the best location in West Covina for our league with the size that it is. Thank you.
Okay, I have another blue card for Mr. Art Bellin.
Good evening, President Jimenez, board members. I just wanted to see if I could address a few of the items that were discussed earlier. What we're trying to do is just coexist. We're not trying to say that we should have the soccer program and not the school program. We definitely support the school program. I don't want you to misunderstand that. We support it. Our members support it. We're just trying to say we could coexist. We talked about downtime for these fields. There's 3 months between our fall season and our spring season, and there's 2 months between our spring and our fall season. That's 5 months. 5 months that we could prep that, those fields up. In the past, we've actually, out of our budget, have fenced, put a temporary fence out there, and that field stood green. It wasn't until the new administration came in, didn't allow us to put the temporary fence up, and the field, it's in the condition it's in now. It's as simple as that. Okay, it's not complicated. You don't have to figure anything out. It's as simple as that. When we had the fence up, it was nice and green for both the programs for the school and the programs in our youth program. So you could tell we could coexist. As far as the high school sports, we have kids that play the high schools. We have to shut down that age group. So we understand what their schedules are. That's not a question about what their schedules are. The questions are is why aren't we allowed to continue what we've done in the past, even though it's a high school. We understand that, and we understand that the high school programs come first. We support that. We're just saying that we could coexist. Okay, at every school or every park site do have lights for baseball. Okay, every city park in West Covina is built for baseball. Okay, so they do have lights. He mentioned, but there is definitely 600 kids on the baseball fields. I guarantee you that. They use them Sunday through Saturday every single day on the baseball fields. This is San Gabriel Valley. For you guys that don't know maybe baseball history, San Gabriel Valley is baseball. Okay, we're all about baseball in this area. That's why it's so difficult for our soccer fields to be placed out here. We're currently still working with the city. You asked whether or not they addressed a question to the city. Yes, we've addressed a question to the city. The park behind us here at Orangewood, it's allocated for a soccer complex. Now we just got to come up with $3.2 million to build that. And if you have that, please let me know that because I'll pass it over to the city. So we are definitely addressing it with the city. We're just looking to coexist right now and work together with the school. We have no problem with the scheduling. They mentioned about 7 or 8 sites that we've had in the past. We've only had 2 sites, or I should say 3 sites. It's Edgewood Middle School and Orangewood Elementary School and Holland Crest. When we were allowed to play, we had to leave Holland Crest and we ended up over at Del Norte. Those are the 3 locations. I'm not sure how you came up with 7 or 8 in the past, but those are the only locations that we have for sites. Currently, we do have more sites because we're spread out now through 3 different fields or 3 different schools, but we've never had 7 or 8 sites. I would love to have 7 or 8 sites. We just know that it's difficult. Baseball is out there as well. During some of the times that we're playing, baseball is expanding. Now they have a winter season where in the past they did not have a winter season, so they're using some of the school sites probably a little bit more than they used in the past. But the number one sport that grows at the sports council meeting, I attend them. It's all the presidents. Not none of the coaches go, just to clarify. The coaches don't go to those meetings, just strictly the presidents. And we have to indicate our numbers, okay? The number one growing sport in the United States is soccer, okay? Number 2 is basketball. And unfortunately, as much as I love baseball, because I grew up playing baseball and football, their numbers are coming down. There's just not enough participants. It's getting so bad that the leagues have to interleague. They have to play each other because there's not enough teams, okay? And they're trying their hardest to address those problems to try to maybe combine some of them so some of these parks start opening up. But even if they do open up, they're not built for soccer. They're built for baseball. It's as simple as that. So, like I said, I just want to reconfirm, we support the school district's program. That's not a question about whether or not we do, we don't. I'm just saying we could coexist. Their programs, I drive by the school every single day. They're done by 5:30. There's no reason why we can't come in 6 and utilize those sites. They do that every other high school. I have a traveling team. You know where most of my games are played on? They're high schools. Their high schools are played on. Their colleges are played on. But yet, when we come to our fields, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, okay? This is probably my 15-plus year as president, and the last 2 years have been the most difficult. And it's unfortunate because I'm spending more of my time in here, these type of meetings, than I am out with the kids. And I enjoy spending my time with my kids. I enjoy coaching. I spend enjoy my time spending with the kids. And we're spending too much time on these items because I don't think it's a problem. It just maybe communication. maybe a little of bending in some parts, but we could coexist. There's no reason why we can't coexist. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ballin. Thank you. Okay, I have a blue slip from a Jacob Ramirez. It's delivered by an absolutely darling little messenger.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me speak. I just wanted to touch base real fast to explain to where I'm coming from. I've been coaching for 6 years here. My older son's 15. I grew up in West Covina. I love West Covina. I went to Monta Vista. I went to Edgewood right here. It's just a community thing, I think. It's almost like family all these years going here. Even if I wasn't playing with people on U6, I just enjoy to walk on that field and see people playing and playing with the kids. For me, it started about 3 years ago. I started practicing on the field on Edgewood and Orangewood, but we started practicing on that field. And as we would practice throughout the day, they would throw the sprinklers on. And all our kids would have to run out of the area, and that was right there at the caddy corner by the parking lot. And then from then on, we had to move from there and go and fight for the corner area of the soccer, of the tennis court because of the light, because of the daylight time savings. So it always felt like you're trying to fight with everyone to get to certain places. And then it ended up coming to be where we can't play right here, and we started practicing here recently. We were the ones that were on the field. And I'm not 100% sure, but what I'm just saying is that I don't know what the thing is going on with Edgewood, but I know for a couple years ago, I don't know whether it's the maintenance man or anyone else, but doesn't really like the soccer league. And I was told that he was the one that turned on the sprinklers years ago while we were playing out there. And it was kind of funny to hear that a couple years later, to know that. I know it's a misconvenience for us to be out there, but at the same time, we're all out there for the kids and the community. And as we started playing out here, they told us that they're driving us out of Edgewood. So for me, I'm just trying to explain where we're coming from. It feels like you're just kind of getting kicked out of your own family area, your home city. And then you look at Wamorado. My younger son plays at Wamorado, and they got the ballpark. They got Downorty. They got every other park to play at, basketball. You know, they got their own league right there. They got all these leagues coming. Soccer is the only one that has, like, nowhere to go. But like they said, we got that place that's $3 million, but unfortunately we can't build the money to get that. So I'm just trying to explain to you that it is a little frustrating, I guess, when you're trying to do everything for the kids and grow with the city, and it's getting taken away from you, and you're just kind of asking, please just give us that park or give us another park. And I'm just trying to explain to you where we're coming from. You know, I love the league. I love West Covina, and I just don't want to transfer off to anywhere else, you know. And one more thing is all the kids together from Orangewood, Edgewood, Edison, when you see them play together, they talk. Hey, I see you from that school. I'm playing you from that school. And it's just so cool to see that community, you know. And I feel like it's getting taken away a little bit, because I know people that live personally across the street, and they don't have a car to go nowhere. Like, they just don't have the money. So they were walking across the street to Edgewood, and this year they can't go to West Cove. You know, they can't walk over there. Unfortunately, the lady's old, and I feel that's for a lot of other families. So I just hope that you guys eventually come to work together with us in the school, that we would have a park for us and the kids to practice on and not have to go. Like, right now I'm practicing at West Cove, and it's actually okay. But like I said, it's just, we're just changing everywhere, you know. But I appreciate, like you're saying, for the school with the kids and the high school. My son goes to West Covina. He played all these years in high school, I mean in soccer. Now that he got to West Covina, he's in track, cross country. So what I'm just trying to say is the soccer builded him to what he was. You know what I mean? So I just appreciate your guys' time, and I hope that we can work it together and have the fields for us and the kids. Thank you.
We want to thank everyone for coming. We know this is a really important issue to the students, because, again, we're all here to serve students. So we really thank you for taking the time out of your day, for coming to speak. I'll turn it over, and then I'll close it out. Go ahead, Ms. Shoemaker.
I'm disturbed a bit about some of the comments that I heard. I want to make it very clear. I can only speak for myself, because we're not voting here. I have heard no direction. I have given no direction. I have not been told any direction has been given that any staff member should be saying that we're trying to push you out of Edgewood. I think that's false information that has been given. And just know that, at least from this board member, that's not what's happening. From what I've heard here tonight, that's not what other board members are saying. All of us know how long the West Community Soccer League has been there. As far as I'm concerned, there needs to be better communication on what the school's needs are, versus what your needs are and the reasons why sometimes we may not be able to accommodate you and why you may not get to only be at Edgewood and Orangewood any longer, no matter how much we may wish that to be. You know, I guess I would like staff, if possible, to find a closer school if you're going to be split up that way. But I can't, as a board member, say I direct staff to put you back at only two schools when that just may not be feasible any longer. But it is not a move, as far as I know, and not for me and not from what I've heard, to push the youth soccer league out. It's just the reality of the school district now.
Any other board members before I close down? No. Okay, so in echoing what Ms. Shoemaker was saying again, and I was closing it out and saying that we do support youth sports. We appreciate them. As we said, we've had kids, we've had nieces, nephews participate, so we really do appreciate, and we appreciate the coaches and parents and students who are participating. But on the flip side, we also are growing a high school, and you've had the luxury for 20-plus years because it was only a middle school. So we will, the administration will continue to work with you. Again, we're not voting. I did put this item on the agenda because I did want you to hear and see what we're hearing and seeing, so we all have the same information, so that you don't feel as parents and community members that we're getting different information or we're keeping things from you. We're not. We really believe in transparency. So thank you for staying here. Thank you for hanging in here with us. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your dedication to youth sports. And our administration will continue to work with your league as best as we can to accommodate everyone's growing needs. Okay, so thank you so much. We'll take a quick 5-minute break. I know I need a 5-minute break. Thank you.